Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Only the Strong Wear Black by Martha Carr and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Devon Sorvery. Chapter 1. Sitting in a cheap metal folding chair on his side of the iron bars, Lazar Verdes studied his halfling daughter with a feral grin.
I suppose I owe it to you to give you the first shot at this. So, is there anything you want to ask me?
Yeah. Why'd you just leave her that night without a word? Cheyenne's anger burned even stronger inside her, racing up her spine and across her shoulders, fueling her. But she was already in her drow form, the purple-gray skin and bone-white hair, pointed ears and glowing golden eyes, just like her father's, so there really was nothing to hold back. Lazar let out a soft, low chuckle, like a rumbling purr.
Going right for the throat, I see.
Don't tell me you expected a bunch of polite small talk.
Honestly, I didn't expect much of anything.
Lazar stretched his legs out in front of him, crossing one ankle over the other in his gray, prison-issue sweatpants, and scratched the side of his chin.
So far, I've been nothing but pleasantly surprised.
Are you going to answer my question or not? Cheyenne studied the drow prisoner's calculating gaze, the secret smile on his dark lips.
He looks real cozy behind those bars, like he doesn't care where he is.
There's a short and long answer for everything, he said.
Right now, all you need to know is I left the way I did because I had to.
Bullshit.
Lazar shrugged. You can believe whatever you want, but you're getting your answers from the source now. I left without a word because I couldn't let your mother know who I really am. I also couldn't run the risk of you knowing until you were ready to find me, which, apparently, you now are.
Cheyenne shook her head. You escaped from Chateau Drawl that night on your own. Why'd you come back to turn yourself in?
Because I had to, and so you could come find me when you were ready.
Are those going to be your answers for everything? Lazar cocked his head.
Only for the questions you're asking right now. Anything else?
He doesn't want to tell me anything. The halfling pressed her lips together and glared at the drow who'd given her all her power and left her to figure it out on her own.
Well, while you think about it, I'll just keep the ball rolling.
He tossed the loose strands of white hair out of his eyes.
How's school?
She blinked.
It's a joke. That doesn't surprise me. I imagine there's very little your professors can teach you at this point, after everything you've managed on your own. The dark web feels like a remarkably fitting place for a dark elf to spend her time, even a halfling.
How the hell does he know about that? Cheyenne shifted in the chair. As the guy who knocked up Bianca Summerlin and abandoned her, and me, you seem to think you actually know who I am.
I'm sure there's much more beneath the surface.
Lazar chuckled again, his golden eyes flashing in the dim yellow lights bolted to the stone walls of the dungeon.
I really am anxious to dig deeper. I know there's plenty you don't show the rest of the world.
You don't know anything about me. Whatever drow spy trick you're trying to pull, I'm not buying it.
I'm not asking you to buy into anything, Cheyenne.
He rocked back in his chair, like he was buckling down to get really comfortable.
Tell me about your friend in the hospital.
What?
The one born Earthside, who can't use what was passed down to her by blood. I hope she's recovering well.
He won't flat out say what Ember is when Sir and the guard are listening. What kind of bullshit game is that? That's none of your business, she muttered. And I didn't come here to talk about someone else.
No, of course not.
Lazar licked his lips, and the next smile he gave her almost looked gentle.
You came here to see your drow father with your own eyes, to size up the man who made you what you are, just to know if he fits into the same shape your imagination gave him. Well, were you close?
Her nostrils flared as he spread his arms and chuckled again. This is just a game to him. Don't you have any questions about her?
Lazar shook his head. Not really. You're far more interesting, Cheyenne, and you wouldn't tell me anything about your mother even if I wanted to know. Let's cut the bullshit, huh? You and I are the same that way. We don't do very well with pretenses.
Cheyenne scoffed. Fine. Why did you leave her the box?
For you. Don't ask questions you already know the answer to. It's boring, and it's not who you are.
Then tell me what it's for. How does it work?
Lazar shook his head. That's for you to discover on your own, and I am so looking forward to the day when you reach that point. I hope you'll come and tell me all about it.
A new flash of rage churned through her. He has to give me something. Okay, since you think you know so much about my life and what I'm getting into, tell me about the bull's head. For the first time, Lazar reacted to her words with something other than blasé amusement. His eyes widened, and he pulled his legs in toward the chair again before leaning forward.
What about it? Can't give too much away with our fro audience in the booth.
I've been seeing it around a lot lately, on magicals who think they know something about me, too.
What does it mean?
The drow on the other side of the bars sucked his teeth and hissed.
That's an issue that should have stayed in Umbaro Ghoul, where it belongs.
Yeah, well, it didn't. And now it's my issue. Cheyenne leaned toward his face, so much like her own. Now's your chance to make this little meeting worth my time. What does it mean?
He shook his head. We're not gonna talk about that.
Then I've run out of things to say. Easter Bunny! A high-pitched whine filled the dungeon a second before those iron bars lit up with crackling green fell energy, buzzing and sparking between father and daughter. The low lights inset into the walls flashed from a dull yellow to an eerie red, and a blaring alarm cut through the cavern every 5 seconds. Lazar glanced quickly at the ceiling, and the fell energy crackling down the iron bars of his visitation cage. In one swift movement, he stood from the chair and stepped away from the bars. His white teeth glinted in the red alarm lights when he grinned at her and offered her one slow nod. Cheyenne stood from her chair and meant to push it aside. Instead, the thing went flying sideways across the cavern and clattered against the stone wall. Swift, urgent footsteps echoed behind her, then a warning arm settled on her elbow.
Let's go, the guard said over the alarm.
The halfling jerked her elbow away and glared at Lazar. The drow prisoner threw his head back and laughed, the sound ringing out across the dungeon between the blaring bursts of the alarm splitting Cheyenne's head.
Come see me again when you've learned how to ask the questions that really matter, he said through his laughter. Then these little talks will be a lot easier for both of us.
Forcing herself not to fling her magic at those bars and tear the whole cell apart to get to him, Cheyenne spun on her heels and stormed back toward the booth. Sir stood just beside the open door, his arms folded, his face showing no expression. Lazar's laughter followed her toward the booth, and she didn't bother turning around to see what would happen to him next.
Should have known the real Lazar would be a lot more disappointing than I imagined.
She didn't look at Sir as she stepped into the booth stretching across the cavern. He entered behind her with the prison guard close on their heels, then the door shut with a loud click and a metallic echo. The guard slammed his hand down on the control panel, and the obnoxiously screaming alarm cut out entirely, at least inside the booth. The red lights still illuminated the dungeon and Lazar's overlarge cell, and the fell energy still fizzled along those thick iron bars, creating a muddy halo of green and red light around them.
"That was a lot shorter than I expected," Sir muttered.
"Why are you complaining?" Cheyenne spat. "Now you have plenty of time to make it back for lunch." Sir didn't find that very funny and folded his arms again as she pushed the door on the other side of the booth. She glanced back at the guard and spread her arms. "You gonna open this thing or what?" The man raised his eyebrows and pressed another button on the control panel. When the door buzzed, Cheyenne shoved her hands against it and stormed out the other side of the booth. The alarm was probably supposed to be silent now, but her drow hearing picked it up from the other side of the booth just the same. And Lazar's laughter continued. The elevator doors were closed when she reached them. Where's the damn button? She searched the stone walls, but couldn't find anything to call the stupid elevator back down.
"It's on its way," Sir said from behind her.
"Whatever." Cheyenne clenched her fists by her sides and stared at the closed doors set into the stone wall. "And I woke up early for this." Chapter 2. As soon as Cheyenne and Sir stepped into the elevator, the blaring alarm cut out entirely. The lights inset in the walls stayed red, though, and the bars still hummed with green fell energy. Lazar smoothed his white hair away from his face and pulled a deep breath in through his nose. Another chuckle escaped him.
"That went well."
Waiting for the prison guards to make their way down here with their magical cattle prods and their dampening cuffs and all the fell-powered firearms they could hold, the drow moved back toward the back of the cell and lowered himself to the floor. He faced the back wall, crossing his legs beneath him, and centered his focus again.
"Just to be sure, a little double-checking never hurt anyone."
Hidden from the dungeon's security cameras and the guard in that damn booth, his hands moved in one more complicated pattern, drawing the power toward him for his next little spell. It was not to fight what was coming for him, or make things harder for the guards, although the thought was tempting. Right now, the distant past would give him more reassurance than anything. When he finished casting the spell, a wavering silver light bloomed in his hands and illuminated the stone wall of the cell in front of him. The shimmering, opalescent forms took shape quickly, and Lazar watched the conjured image of himself from so many centuries ago. There he sat in the Oracle's lair in Umbaro Ghul, the dark walls much lighter in his memory. There was a lot less blood on those walls, too, but the surroundings weren't important, just the conversation. The wizened, shriveled oracle, with black lines all over her wrinkled face, opened her eyes. They'd been a dark storm gray before he'd asked her for the prophecy of his lineage. Now they were a swirling, misty white.
"The Kuan is doomed to lose his bloodline time and again."
The voice was a raspy croak, rattling like death from an ancient mouth perpetually stained red.
"The endless search for an heir will bring each one of them to death's door. Only the Scion, never pursued, will rise to their destiny. When the shackles of the old laws crumble, their purpose will be fulfilled."
In this vision of Lazar's memory, he heard his own voice, so steady, so sure of itself, so goddamn foolish.
"Explain this, Oracle."
The prophetic whiteness filtered away from the oracle's eyes, and a wrinkled, gnarled hand reached into a bowl of blood sitting beside her. Fingers dipped into all that red, and she drew a line of it down her face, from forehead to beneath her chin.
"Every child you sire is doomed to the same fate, Kuan. You will go to them to mold each one into the shape of your heir, but you will fail. Death rides on the heels of your eagerness. Every child will fall beneath your guiding hand, and you will pursue them over and over to the same end.
The Lazar from centuries ago, wavering in the silver light of the memory spell, folded his arms and lifted his chin.
Will any of them survive?
No, not while you try so hard to bring them to their destiny. And you will keep trying, Drow. You will never stop.
The crone snickered and pressed a blood-covered finger against Lazar's chest.
Your greed and your pride make you unstoppable.
Then she bent over her aged lap and fell into a fit of wheezing, paper-thin cackles. Sitting in the cell in the dungeon, Lazar swiped his hand through the glistening light of his memory, and the vision disappeared. His knuckles cracked as he clenched his fists.
I was such a cocksure idiot then. That prophecy proved itself, all right. Not this time. This time, my pride sits behind bars with me. We'll wait together for as long as it takes.
Chapter 3. Sir didn't ask Cheyenne to put the stupid black bag over her head again when they got back into his orange Kia Rio. Maybe he'd forgotten the route to Chateau Drawl was supposed to be a secret. Maybe he knew if he told her to put it on, she'd send a blast of drow magic into his stupid mustache. Cheyenne didn't care what he thought, and she wasn't paying attention to the roads he drove them down anyway. Lazar can laugh all he wants. He's the one spending the rest of his life in a damn cage. After 10 minutes of strained silence, Sir cleared his throat.
I'm guessing that didn't go the way you were hoping.
No shit.
The guy's been nothing but a pain in the ass since we put him behind bars.
Sir shrugged and gripped the steering wheel with both hands.
Don't take it personally, halfling. It's not just you.
She had nothing to say.
Hey, at least he didn't try to throw you around the giant cavern or anything, or try to phase you through the bars to hold you hostage. He's a real piece of shit. You can count yourself lucky.
We're not having a heart-to-heart right now, Cheyenne muttered. Just stick to being an asshole. You're a lot better at that. A choking sound came from Sir's mouth. He might have tried to hold back a laugh. Instead, he readjusted his aviator sunglasses and cleared his throat again.
Yeah, I know.
Trees and cars and highway signs whizzed past them as he took her back toward the business park where she'd left her car. Cheyenne ran a hand through her hair and rolled her eyes. So, what has to happen before I get another escort to Chateau Drawl?
Sir did a double take. You want to see him again?
Probably not. Just give me my options.
All right, halfling. I'd say our deal's still on the table, if you're willing to keep sitting at it. You keep the phone on you, and your schedule open. Stay chummy with Reinhardt for whatever ops we think could benefit from you sticking around. That will earn you more points to turn in for another fun get-together with Daddy.
Cheyenne snorted. Didn't think we were working on a point system.
Like a goddamn arcade, right? You win the tickets, you get a prize.
He shook his head.
We'll say 3 ride-alongs with my men equals 1 ride on the Chateau Drawl Express. The thought of going back there to see the drow's ugly mug and listen to you two talk over each other doesn't make me jump for joy. But I'll take you again after the 3 more jobs.
Don't call it a job if you're not paying me anything. She turned her head just enough to shoot him a sideways glance. I thought Bianca drilled that into you hard enough. Sir grunted, but ignored the jibe about how quickly and easily her mom had buried him in legalities on the back veranda of her estate.
I'm paying you in visitations, halfling. You can't buy your way into Chateau Drawl. Plenty of people have tried.
Plenty of magicals break out of there, too. Or was that just an extra special night for everyone? The morning sunlight glinted across Sir's face as it passed like a strobe light through the trees lining the highway. She caught a glimpse of his eyes darting toward her beneath the dark sunglasses before returning to the road.
That was a first. I'm not surprised it hasn't happened again.
Good to know you have so much faith in your security over there. The halfling thumped her head back against the headrest.
Those men know what they're doing, and the prison's security has gone through more updates than the iPhone I don't have. I'll tell you what, though. If the bastard really wanted out right now, he'd be out. He already did it once.
She didn't say anything to that. Sir had heard her entire conversation with Lazar, and already knew the answer the drow inmate had given for that one.
I want to know why he's still playing prisoner, Sir continued. Find out for me the next time you cash in your fro points for another visit, and you'll have unrestricted access to the guy. Then I can quit spending my Sundays being a goddamn halfling chauffeur.
Cheyenne turned to look at him full on. He's serious. Game on. Sir nodded and gave another little grunt.
Smart move, halfling.
Hey, while we're stuck in your car together, anything you can tell me about those bull's head pendants? The man's head rocked back in confusion, and he shot her a quick glance. Whatever she might have been able to see in his eyes was hidden by the tinted lenses.
I don't have a goddamn clue what you're spouting off about. Didn't even understand half the shit you two were talking about in there. If you want answers to useless questions, don't ask the guy who doesn't do useless.
Right, like Sir's been useful for much of anything. Didn't expect you to have an answer.
Oh, sure. Just want to keep up the small talk, huh? You suck at that. Just like I suck at emotions.
Cheyenne took a deep breath. He sounds a lot more desperate the longer I'm with him. She glanced at the sign for the next exit coming up, just two more before they'd turn off into the business park. Time to shut down drow mode. Think of the woods. The heat of her drow magic fizzled out in a second, drawing itself back inside her to wait for the next time she needed it. Her purple-gray skin faded back to its unnatural human paleness, the bone-white hair returning to high-voltage raven black. She lifted a hand absently to her ears to feel their rounded tops and dropped her forearm back onto the armrest. I can't wait to get out of this car. When Sir turned into the huge, empty parking lot, the buckle of Cheyenne's seatbelt clicked against the side of the car before they'd come to a complete stop. She jerked open the passenger side door as Sir shifted into park, and he snorted as she leaped out.
You and me both, halfling. Keep the phone.
The door slammed shut, and Cheyenne walked briskly to the driver's side of her matte gray Ford Focus with its chipped and peeling paint.
Yeah, I know. It's still on me.
Sir sped away in his screaming orange Kia Rio, and the halfling slipped quickly behind the wheel of her car. She took a deep breath to calm herself even further. As soon as she started the car, her personal phone let out a little chirp from inside her jacket pocket. Another text from Ember. Hey, if you're awake and not too busy, can you run by my place and pick up more of my things? Since it looks like I'll be staying here a little longer after all. Cheyenne smirked and texted back. No problem. What do you need? Clothes? Don't forget the underwear this time. Bathroom stuff? It's all pretty much in a bag on the counter. A couple of books. Literally anything stacked on my desk that isn't for classes. This place has shitty cable, and I'm not about to buy an issue of Good Housekeeping just to have something to read.
Very specific. I'll try not to screw it up.
Ember sent crazy face emojis and a heart, followed by, You're the best. See you soon. Cheyenne just sent her a thumbs up and stuck her phone back into her pocket. Then she strapped herself in and got the hell out of the business park. It took her about 20 minutes to get back to the north side of Jackson Ward and Ember's apartment. There weren't that many people out and about yet, at least in the apartment complex. She walked through the hallway on the ground floor, which was open to the air, and stopped at the last apartment on the left. After squatting to lift the corner of the doormat, she pulled the spare key out from underneath and unlocked the door. First floor. That'll make things easier when they let her out. Ember's apartment was almost the exact opposite of Cheyenne's, because the Fay grad student had furniture in her living room, with brightly colored throw pillows and everything. It smelled like lavender hand soap and the Nag Champa incense beside the small pot of bamboo on a table by the window. The halfling went straight back to the bedroom and rummaged through her friend's drawers, tossing everything that might work onto the blue bedspread covered in gray stars. When she found the underwear drawer, she paused. I should bring her some handmade troll lingerie. She burst out laughing, grabbed a handful of underwear from the drawer, and tossed that on the bed, too. A quick search through the closet netted her another tote bag, and Cheyenne stuffed everything into it. Without bothering to look at the titles, she grabbed the top three books stacked on the desk beside the bed, then headed into the bathroom. Damn, she keeps things clean in here. There wasn't even a toothbrush on the counter by the sink, and she had to search through the medicine cabinet on top and the one below before she found the toiletries bag. She opened it to make sure it had what Ember needed, then shrugged and tossed the small zipped bag into the tote with everything else. As she slung the bag over her shoulder and stepped into the hall to leave, her drow hearing picked up heavy footsteps from the open hallway outside. She didn't think anything of it until the footsteps came all the way down the row of apartments and stopped outside the last door on the left. Ember's. Cheyenne slowly lowered the bag off her shoulder. The doorknob turned. She dropped the tote. By the time the front door to Ember's apartment burst open, the halfling had already let the heat of her drow magic race up her spine and take over, just in time for a tall, gangly troll to storm inside. There was a disturbingly yellow tint around the edges of his purple eyes and lips, which he licked nervously. A bright orange skaxen with long, greasy red hair falling over his shoulders stepped in behind the troll. Now that looks like a rat. The door slammed behind them, and it took the intruders a moment to see the drow halfling standing in the hallway to the bedroom. Cheyenne summoned a crackling black orb of energy with bright purple churning at the core, and cocked her head. Bet you were expecting someone else, huh? The troll let out a high-pitched giggle. Just you, Morukare. Chapter 4. A spark of neon yellow light burst from his fingertips and streaked across the living room. Cheyenne's enhanced speed kicked in, and she stepped sideways to avoid the attack of sickly electric magic. When time sped up again, she stood 2 feet from where the troll's spell cracked against the back of the hallway. A burst of drywall puffed out into the living room. The halfling shrugged. Your aim sucks. Then she launched her black sphere at the troll's chest. He dove out of the way just before her magic blasted the edge of a cabinet above the stove, splintering the wood and ripping the door off the hinges.
You think sneaking Earthside is gonna hide you from us?
The Skaxon leered at her, his words whistling through the many gaps between his razor-sharp teeth.
The Ogul Eye searches across more than one world, Morukare, and the head follows.
With surprising speed, the Skaxon leaped onto the kitchen counter, knocking down a jar of loose change and hissing like a rat. The thick silver chain lurched out from beneath his shirt, another bull's head pendant dangling off it. Let me guess, you're talking about cattle. Purple sparks flared at the tips of Cheyenne's fingers, but she waited a little longer. Whatever the hell he just said, he thinks I know what it means. The Skaxon whipped something that looked like an AA battery out of his jacket pocket and raised it like he meant to throw the thing. A dark shimmer erupted from his hand and trembled there before slowly growing. He shrieked in excitement, spit flying from his bright orange lips.
"Looks like your spells are stalling on you, asshole."
The halfling went to
Sample complete. Ready to continue?